listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
For all my South Side niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. God damn, I made that bitch famous. For all the girls that got dick from Kanye West, if you see them in the streets, give them Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous. God damn, they mad they still nameless. Talk that talk, man. A man in the store trying to try his best, but he just can't seem to get Kanye fresh. But we still hood famous. God damn, yeah, we still hood famous. I just wanted you to know.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday. Mm-hmm. It's another manic Monday.
It is.
You guys know how it is. Mm-hmm. You can find this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips, and we'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews as you are wont to do. And if you leave us a 5-star review and we like it, we'll read it on the show. Right? You thought it was going to be complicated, didn't you?
It's not.
Wrong. Make it nice. Make it 5 stars on iTunes and Stitcher, and we read it on the show.
We do.
You know, it's no more complicated than that, guys. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Mm-hmm. And today marks day 580 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. 580. Free Bobby, political prisoner. And this episode is brought to you by that crate, y'all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. All right, this month is July's theme is futuristic. Okay, so you got like Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, all kinds of stuff. You get t-shirts and all this stuff. So go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT to get you $3 off, man. Hook yourself up. We love Loot Crate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into the show. I mean, it's like, what is there to talk about? I mean, did anything happen? Guys, is anything going on in the world today? Why did people pick today to come to the show? I feel like, you know, people, there's something on everybody's mind that they want us to talk about first. But I don't know if we should go that direction right off the bat. I feel like there's other news that is important.
Okay.
That we want to talk about, that we need to get to as well. We don't want to just hop right into, you know, the one thing that everybody wants, you know. I mean, come on, guys. This is a professional show. And we gotta talk about other stuff, right?
Okay.
Nah, Taylor Swift.
Oh, what happened with Taylor?
Darth Susan, as they call it on Very Smart Brothers.
Oh Lord, we gonna be playing the music then?
Which music? What music is that? Music. Oh no, this is not white people news. Mm-mm.
Oh okay.
No,
white people news.
I saved other news for white people news.
This okay.
Is totally unrelated level of news.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
breaking news.
It's not even breaking news because we already heard it. It came out last night.
It did.
Yeah, you asleep.
Okay, because I'm
and
like
somehow you avoided this all day. I don't know how you were in the dark. But
12:15. Yeah, it was 12:15 exactly. If I'm not mistaken, it was
12:15. See something.
And you see Taylor.
Now you see now.
Now you see now.
You done fucked up.
You done fucked up, Taylor. You done fucked up, Taylor. You know you done fucked up, right?
I see what I'm saying.
I thought.
No, so, you know what I'm saying? You done fucked up. Now you know that, don't you?
I know
you done fucked up, don't you? No, you done fucked up.
Without the tape, they had nothing.
But they got the tape, though.
Oh, shit. What happened? Who got what tape?
So Kim Kardashian.
Not Kim.
Master of social media and entertainment and fame. Mm-hmm. And her savagery and forward thinkingness. Got her Cersei on last night.
Oh shit, she burned down the buildings, blowing shit up.
You know, it's been quite the controversy. going on with the with Kanye West and Taylor Swift. I mean, it goes all the way back to him coming up on stage, I believe it was during the MTV Awards, and just snatching that award out of her hand, and, you know, saying the truth as we all knew it at the time, as rude and uncouth and wrong as he was to do it.
Yes.
It was the truth that we all understood, which is that Taylor Swift ain't had no motherfucking business
winning that award.
That, like, and that's, I know, all.
Yeah, I know she was an established artist. Yeah. And I know there are people that stand for her and love her, but at that period of time, she shouldn't have won it.
Beyonce's Single Ladies was a better video. Everybody knew it. Only people that was off of it was them contrarian anti-Beyonce motherfuckers, but nobody listens to you tasteless motherfuckers in the first place. So it was her and tasteless people were on her side. Then Kanye got up on that stage and acted a motherfucking fool, and then whiteness descended. It heard the beck and call of a white woman in distress, and they rushed down upon Kanye like the motherfucking Ramsay Bolton army on Jon Snow with that one sword. And, you know, this nigga was crying and apologizing on late night TV and everything. Like, his shit has not been the same since then. But, you know, they famously made up between then. There's all sorts of pictures of them together, them being in public together, them talking about they talk behind the scenes.
Right.
All of this stuff where people were pretty much like, okay, they must be cool now. And then Kanye dropped Famous. And when Famous dropped, it's like it started all over again. People, oh, he's still picking on her. They're not cool. Why would you say something like this about a woman? This is, you know, not just misogynistic, but you violated her. Like, you didn't ask for her approval. You just ran out there and said these mean things about her. What's your obsession with her? Leave her alone. Y'all not friends, right? That was pretty much the response.
Yeah.
Kanye and them was like, no, we talked to her. She approved. We had a phone call. And Darth Susan was like, new phone, who this?
Uh-oh, right? So she lied.
No, now, hold on. I got the exact word. So we're going to go back on this. But in case people don't remember the lyrics, I mean, I feel like I have to play them for everybody.
Man, I can understand how it might be kind of hard to love a girl like me. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know. Yeah.
Swiss told me to let the beat rock. For all my Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous.
Goddamn.
I made that bitch famous.
For all right. Those are the lyrics that are infamous at this point. Then he had the famous video.
Yes, he did.
The one with all the people naked, all the people who he feels are controversial for just living life the way they want to be, and they don't care if people get offended by it, but people deem them offensive. Donald Trump, Caitlyn Jenner, Ray J, Amber Rose, himself, Kim Kardashian, like Anna Wintour, like I feel like Bill Cosby, like everybody
Caitlyn
was in
Jenner.
There. Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner, like there was a bunch of people in there. Everybody was trying to decipher the simple meaning behind all of it and all this shit. But, you know, Lena Dunham wrote a piece about how this is wrong for him to do.
Says the woman that wrote a book about touching the sister.
Hey, don't be bringing up all this shit. And then people wrote that it's revenge porn, essentially. On, you know, Amber Rose and Anna Wintour and Taylor Swift, I'm assuming. And I'm not even saying that it's not. I don't know. It's really up to your interpretation, because I'm not trying to defend it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kanye be doing Kanye shit.
I don't care or what. It just wasn't that deep to me.
Yeah, Kanye be doing Kanye shit.
Right, that's how I look at it.
I rolled my eyes and went, oh, Kanye. Well, you know, Taylor Swift has been kind of vocal about you know, Kanye and her misgivings towards how he has sort of treated her over time and the things that he said and done towards her, which she does not appreciate, at least I would gather from her words. Now this is from after Famous came out, and she released a statement, which is, according to a message supplied to Entertainment Weekly from Swiss representatives, Kanye did not call for approval, but to ask Taylor to release his single Famous on her Twitter account. She declined and cautioned him about releasing a song with such strong misogynistic message. Taylor was never made aware of the actual lyric, "I made that bitch famous." Okay? We're gonna come back to this in a second. Remember that though. And then during her Grammy acceptance speech, she says, "As the first woman to win Album of the Year at the Grammys twice, I want to say to all the young women out there, there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame," she said near the close of the show. "But if you just focus on the work and you don't let those people sidetrack you, someday you'll get where you're going. You look around you and you'll know it was you and the people who love you who put you there, and that will be the greatest feeling in the world." As if to say, you did not make me famous. You know, right? I mean, essentially, that's what I took from it, is you did not make me famous. This is not like...
I think for me, there were people, a lot of people who already knew Taylor Swift, already knew her, but the vast majority of people, I'm not gonna lie, I did not know who she was. I had no idea who she was. And it's like, after that, I knew who she was because her shit was fucking everywhere.
Well, she was winning the MTV award, right? Mm-hmm. She made her next, like, album about that experience. Mm-hmm. Why don't we let her talk in her own words, right? I mean, like I said, Kanye, during all his, during his albums, he films and has a film crew, and they film his process. So, and not to mention the Kardashians record everything.
Yeah, they do.
So there was film of this conversation. He did make a phone call to her, and they did discuss it. As she said, he, you know, her people said that he did make a phone call to her, right? I mean, that much is true, you know. According to them, though, he did not call to ask for approval of the lyrics, but to ask her to put it on her Twitter account, and she declined and said, "Don't put out this song because it's got a strong misogynistic message." Okay. So let's see if we can play some of this.
You want to show it?
Show what?
Oh, okay, dope. You still got the Nashville number?
I still have the Nashville area code, but I had to change it.
"For all my Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex." "Oh, well, this one is, I think this is a really cool thing to have.
I know, definitely.
It's like a compliment kind of. Yeah. I give a fuck."
So she says, "I feel like I'm this close to overexposure," you know, kind of saying like, "Hey, I don't want to be too much in the news and stuff." And he said, "Well, this will be like cool because this is like me talking about you in a rap lyric and we're friends and shit, so it's like a joke between buddies." She says it's like a compliment kind of. Okay, doesn't sound like she's cautioning against a strong misogynistic overtone. Okay,
"You as a person and as a friend, I want things that make you feel good. I don't want to do rap that makes people feel bad."
"Go with whatever line is better. It's obviously very tongue-in-cheek either way." Go with whatever line makes you feel better, or you feel is better. So, sounds like she did approve of the line.
"And I really appreciate you telling me about it. That's really nice."
"Oh, yeah. I feel like I just have a responsibility to you as a friend, you know. And, thanks for being, like, so cool about it."
"Oh, thanks. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Like, the heads up without like even asking or seeing if I'd be okay with it, and I just really appreciate it. Like, I never would have expected you to like tell me about Milan and Lena.
All right.
So she knew.
Sound like she knew. Now the thing is, in all the clips I saw, they never showed him saying that bitch, okay? But they did, like, there is another clip where they show him saying, even to the point where he's like, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, so she, even in that, she like her people and stuff, the statement they released where it said, we didn't know about the that bitch famous part. That does seem to hold up, right?
True.
The problem is, in her statements, that doesn't seem to be the sticking point for why she felt victimized by this stuff, because she basically went on to say it's about him trying to claim that he made me famous. It's about him trying to claim that, matter of fact, actually, they do have a part where he says something about that. Actually, let me go to my page, because there's a part where she actually agrees, like, yeah, people didn't know me before this, and now more people know me, so it is like you made me famous. So even, I forgot, yeah, let me go play, because I have it on my page. I have all three clips, because Baller Alert was on top of this, as you guys
you know what it was.
You know Baller Alert was okay, ladies, let's get information right away. And there's a whole transcript of it as well. He says, for all my South Side niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Actually, I feel like they took something out. Hold on a second. Let me see if this transcript is even a full one. I'm gonna do a word search. Awesome that you're so outspoken. It's gonna be like, yeah, she does. It made her famous. It's more provocative to say might still have sex. It doesn't matter to me. There's not one that hurts my feelings and one that doesn't when it comes to these lyrics. So she's saying either way you say these lyrics, it doesn't hurt my feelings. Now that sounds like approval to me. You know, that sounds like if I'm Kanye West, I feel like I can go and put my song out knowing that it's clear with the person who matters and that they're okay with that. To me. But maybe I'm hearing it wrong. And I'm a fan of Taylor Swift, man. This shit was shady. You know, people have always suspected that she was shady. And things are kind of hitting the fan. You know, she started dating Loki and then all of a sudden her life fell to pieces. I don't know. Gotta stop fucking with them, Norse gods, y'all. The one of lies. She put a statement out afterwards too, but let me, get to the other clip so you can hear the whole thing. Sorry y'all, Facebook is taking this sweet ass time.
God, don't scroll it down. Now you ain't looking at nothing but your post.
Yeah. And keep in mind, these videos were all posted to Kim Kardashian's Snapchat.
Ah, not Snapchat.
And her episode that night on Keeping Up with the Kardashians was about this.
Holy shit.
Right? So at some point, somebody taught her how to play spades, because she's been sitting on the big joker all this time, right?
Like, didn't say nothing.
Didn't say a word. You would have never known, because if I would have had this evidence, I would have put it out the day after, like, ooh, you lying. Why you going to get on the Grammys and try to make us look bad? But she waited till she could monetize it, because that's what Kim do.
Right, she about that money.
You telling me about it. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah. I thought I just had a responsibility to you as a friend, you know. And, I mean, thanks.
Things without, like, even asking or seeing if I'd be okay with it. And I just really appreciate it. Like, I never would have expected you to, like, tell me about the line when you're
I mean, thanks for being, like, so cool about it.
Oh, thanks.
Because you know all that subliminal shit she threw at Kanye. She ain't call him and ask if she put that in her song. Right? Like, over the years, her Grammy speeches, she didn't call him and get approval. She just talked shit about him.
She made albums about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Like, the heads up is so nice.
Relationships are more important than punchlines, you know? It's pretty crazy.
The flowers that you sent me, I, like, Instagrammed as the
He sent her flowers. She said she Instagrammed is the most Instagram like she's ever gotten. Sounds like a very friendly conversation.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, go
to whichever line you think is better. It's obviously very funny to you either way.
Talk about is just you as a person and as a friend. I want things that
keep shout out to Rick Rubin, who you guys see in the who is in the background laying down looking like the guy on the couch and half baked.
That make you feel good. I don't want to do rap that makes people feel bad.
All right, so that was that video. There's two more parts. Let me play the second part. Here's the second part, also on Ball Alert. Knew they would be on top of it. Shout out to the crew. 11-8 over there, Steph.
They're gonna be on it.
All right, here's part two. Wait, play.
As a person and as a friend, I want things that make you feel good. I don't want to do rap that makes people feel bad. Thing to have.
I know. Definitely. It's like a compliment to myself. Yeah. Unlike this close to overexposure.
Oh, well, this one is, I think this is a really cool thing to have. For all my Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Oh, okay, dope. You still got the Nashville number?
I still have the Nashville area code, but I had to change it.
All right, that was part two. And what was part three? I can't remember what he even said on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would listen to that and be like, oh, that's a real shit. Like, she must be crying about
that one. That's the most damning part. I don't think anybody would listen to that and feel like, oh, she must, that's a real diss, oh, she must be crying. But then she went and played the exact card of, I was dissed, I was crying, I was hurt.
Like, oh, that's a real diss, like, she must be crying. It doesn't matter if I sold 7 million of that album before you did that, which is what happened. You didn't know who I was before that.
Doesn't matter if I sold 7 million before that album. You didn't know who I was before that.
Mm-mm, I know I didn't.
So she's even backing up the, this is like you made me famous.
Okay. You didn't know who I was before that. Fine. Just, you gotta tell the story the way that it happened to you and the way that you experienced it. Like, you honestly didn't know who I was before that. I'm at the extent that I can make these things happen, and I have the ideas to do it, and I create these things and concepts, and, like, I'm always going to respect you. And I'm really glad that you have the respect to call me and tell me that as a friend about the song, and you know, if people ask me about it, I think it would be great for me to be like, well, she called me and told me the line before it came out, like,
if people ask about me, I think it'd be great. Ask me about the line, I think it'd be great to say he called me and asked me about the line before he put it out. So there's really no reason he shouldn't have felt that she had his back, right?
Right.
It'd be great for me to be like, well, she called me and told me the line before it came out. Like, joke's on you guys, we're fine.
Joke's on you guys, we're fine.
It's just like, it's a really cool thing to do, like, and a really good show.
All right. So, after, you know, these videos drop, she releases a statement the way that everybody does these days on, like, Instagram, which I don't know what the etiquette is, but responding to a Snapchat on Instagram, come on, Taylor.
Come on, you respond to a Snapchat with a Snapchat.
We all know this. But she put, now keep in mind, I don't know if you've noticed anything, but I'll point it out to you after I'm done. But you notice anything funny about this screenshot yet? It's okay if you don't. It's very low-key and subtle.
No.
Okay, I'll show you in a second. Taylor Swift on Instagram. Where is the video of Kanye telling me he was going to call me that bitch in his song? It doesn't exist because it never happened. You don't get to control someone's emotional response to being called that bitch in front of the entire world. Of course I wanted to like the song. I wanted to believe Kanye when he told me that I would love the song. I wanted us to have a friendly relationship. He promised to play the song for me, but he never did. While I wanted to be supportive of Kanye on the phone call, you cannot approve a song you haven't heard. Being falsely painted as a liar when I was never given the full story or played any part of the song is character assassination. I would very much like to be excluded from his narrative, one that I never asked to be part of since 2009. Now, if you pay attention up in the top left corner where my mouse is, what does that say?
That says search.
Yeah, that means this statement been sitting somewhere for a while and she had to search it to bring it up to get the screenshot. Like, she didn't type it, because when you type a note in and take a screenshot of it, it's just a note. But when you already typed and saved something, then you got to search to find it. It's just interesting. I'm not saying that she didn't type that up herself or whatever, but it's interesting that she would have to search her notes, because it's like, well, when did you write this? You know, when did you know this was coming forward? Also, the song has been out since February, and her problems in the media were never about being called a bitch. It's very weird that tonight it switched from he tried to take credit for me being famous. He tried to, I cautioned him against releasing the song. Did it sound like that there? Mm-mm. I was never made aware of the actual lyric, I made that bitch famous. Although even in the conversation, you can hear her say, yeah, well, you did make me famous and you didn't know me before that. So, I mean, I can understand, even though I sold 7 million albums, that you would feel that way. You got to tell the story from your perspective. It sounds very supportive and it sounds two-faced to go back and be like, well, it's all because he said that bitch. You know, like, that seems kind of convenient. That being said, I do think if someone calls somebody a bitch, you don't get to tell them how they have to react. It's just very telling how her narrative switched, because it didn't seem to be that bitch in February. It didn't seem to be that bitch at the Grammys. It didn't seem to be that bitch when her people released that statement. It only turned to that bitch after they released this video, like, but we already had talked to her and she had said it was cool. Yeah. Then it was like, they didn't say that bitch though.
Yeah, because according to her, they didn't talk at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before this, it was just, he called me and said, put it on my Twitter account. That's the only time we talked. Now it's, well, it sounds like, you know, he called you and asked for approval of the message of the song. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it seems kind of, seems a little bit fishy, sis. And she would try to pull this move. And shout out to Kim, the real MVP. Record everything. Don't throw nothing away. Put it on Snapchat. Make a TV show. Sell commercials. I don't know the legality of this shit.
She is about that money. If it don't make money, it don't make sense in her world.
According to the Daily Mail, Taylor Swift's attorney said, Kanye and them better destroy all recordings immediately, or they will they're gonna threaten them with legal action.
And she act like they not, yeah, like, mm-hmm. She, Kim be like, and what, bitch?
Yeah, they got so much money,
right? Kim be like, okay, let's go to court. I can see Kim be like, okay, you won't be paid, I can be paid too. Mm-hmm. I'm not destroying shit.
I'll write a check. The point is, my family name clean now because you played the victim wrong.
Right,
like, she played it up, the all the little girls out there, people will take credit for your fame. You thought it was a cute joke between friends. You said it would be cool if when people call you could be like, well, we already talked and it's cool. Nah, it don't sound like you already talked and it was cool. You made it sound like y'all never talked and it wasn't cool. Making it sound like Katy Perry is right.
Yeah,
you know, making it sound like that Calvin Harris dude got a point. Just saying.
Yeah, and this goes from somebody that after every breakup, her whole next album is about that breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, the lawyer is like...
And I'm not knocking that, but, you know, mm-hmm. That's what you do.
Yep. So, it sounds like, you know, they may be trying to press charges or something at some point, possibly. The telephone call was, the website says, recorded as part of footage being shot of Kanye working in the LA area studio. If true, that means Taylor, 26, could now file a lawsuit against him and Kim for breaking the law. The attorney letter stated, demand is hereby made that you immediately destroy all such recordings, provide us of assurance that this has been done, and also assurance that these recordings have not been previously disseminated.
Yeah, that don't mean none of them, honey. They'll settle with you in court, pay your fine, and keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for your lawyers and be like, okay, Aaron.
Right.
We ain't destroying shit.
See if y'all can send me to jail then.
Right.
Basically. Take that shit to trial.
Yeah, I can see Kim, because guess what? To her, it's another season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, honey. What you talking about?
Yeah. Of course, this didn't stop some people from putting on their capes and trying to fly up into the conversation. Up and away. Selena Gomez decided to get in on some of this action. She is not here for Taylor Swift slander. She took to her Twitter account last night after Kim Kardashian exposed Taylor for lying about knowing about Kanye West's controversial famous song. Apparently, there's way too much important stuff going on in the world, according to her. Selena tweeted this, there are more important things to talk about. Why can't people use their voice for something that fucking matters? And this dude replied to her, good question. Why haven't you or Taylor not said anything about Black Lives Matter or police brutality?
Come on, Dow. Come on. Mm-hmm. You just complaining because it's about your fucking friend.
She responded back, oh, LOL. So that means if I hashtag something, I save lives? No. I could give two fucks about sides. You don't know what I do. Now, what's funny here is, you were just saying use your voice for something that matters. Mm-hmm. Maybe hashtagging might not save a life, but it might spread awareness.
Right.
It might use your voice for something that matters. So does it not matter then?
No, it don't. It don't to her because, you know, police brutality ain't, that's not on how her priority list. That's what her statement told me, that police brutality is not on her priority list.
Mm-hmm. Abby Wastikin said on Twitter, Selena on Solidarity for Pulse, blank. Black Lives Matter, blank. Taylor Swift caught in a lie, and it is a quote from her Twitter, truth is the last thing we need right now is hate in any form. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sound like you should've, well, you know what?
Should've kept quiet.
I got some advice.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, in some situation you can be like, hey dog, you got to take that one.
Yeah, you just, your friend fucked up. You know, you're not saving any lives by tweeting this hashtag. You just said to talk about real problems and stuff.
And that's real problems.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
So, Brianna Jungwirth said on Twitter, Selena, use your voice to speak out on important stuff. Selena, me saying Black Lives Matter won't solve anything.
Cause you don't give a fuck. I mean, basically her first statement, she does not care. She's only complaining because it's about her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett, that's the only reason why she spoke up.
Nobody can talk about two things at the same time.
Nah, we not that smart.
In other vicarious Kardashian beef, it looks like Khloe got into it with Khloe Grace Moretz. It was Khloe on Khloe violence, y'all.
Oh shit.
Wow.
Who's the Khloe Grace Moretz? Who's that?
Khloe Grace Moretz played Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass movies.
Oh, her. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, she also, we covered her earlier this last year. We covered her last year when she was like shooting all this shade about Kim Kardashian and posting sexy selfies and shit. She was talking shit about her on Twitter, which is, you know, under the guise of talking about feminism. You know how white women do. Feminism to them means controlling other women and what they're supposed to be saying.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want nobody controlling me though.
Oh man, white women are crazy, man. Your feminism isn't right, sister. You're out here exposing your body and your dangling parts. Do what I do. That's the only right way to be a feminist. Khloe Kardashian was so sad she could barely get up the energy to go to the gym yesterday.
Oh shit, she couldn't go to yoga class.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She had a Twitter war with Chloe Grace Moretz on Sunday, and she found herself lacking the motivation to hit the gym as she usually does the next morning. The 32-year-old shared a Snapchat video of herself from inside her car, and she explained to her fans, "It's Monday, about to go work out. I don't have a lot of motivation, but I'll find it in my workout and get to it." Apparently what happened was she reignited her family's feud with Chloe Moretz after posting an X-rated photo on Twitter of a woman she thought was Chloe Grace Moretz. Mm-hmm. She had a screenshot of Chloe Grace Moretz filming Neighbors 2 last October alongside another screenshot of the back of some woman who was on a dude's shoulders and like exposing, like the way the dude grabbed her, you could kind of see her vagina. Okay. So she thought it was the same person, but only one of those pictures was of Chloe Grace Moretz. The other one was just of some random woman that had a similar bikini on, but not the same one. Presumably referring to the recent deaths and turmoil in Nice. In Turkey and Louisiana the past few days, Chloe, who previously got into a Twitter beef with Kim over her nude selfie back in March, wrote, "Everyone in this industry needs to get their heads out of a hole and look around to realize what's actually happening in the real world. Stop wasting your voice on something so petulant and unimportant." I cannot front, man. Chloe Grace Moretz seems like the biggest fucking bore when she tweets shit like that. You know what I mean? She just sounds like a young that's like a young person's tweet. You know, everything's so important, but the shit I'm on is, you guys are just, everyone's full of shit except me. I'm the realest person. I only talk about things that matter. I'm such an important actress. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna change the world. And you're just like, you're 17. Shut up.
Right.
You know, like, you're 18. This is, shut the fuck up when grown folks are talking. But it didn't take long before Chloe responded by posting a rude photo, a collage of an image of Chloe in a bikini and a backshot of some unknown blonde woman, quipping, "Is this the hole you're referring to at Chloe Grace Moretz?" Yeah. Would you say everyone needs to get their heads out of the hole? So she definitely slut shamed her. They're trying to be like, look at your vagina. And then if you look at the picture, that she posted, hold on, I'll screen share with you guys. It's edited, so it's no nudity. They blurred it out. But if you look at the picture that she posted of Chloe Grace Moretz, like the supposed, like, look at your vagina hole, which she probably been holding on to for a minute. Mm-hmm. It's just slut shaming. Like, it's not like a purposeful, like, look at my vagina picture. It's like the dude grabbing whoever this girl is accidentally dislodged her bikini. Like, it clearly wasn't on purpose, and yet somehow Khloe Kardashian tried to use it to like knock her down, which makes Amber Rose right in their original beef. Okay, guys.
Right.
How your sister famous for a sex tape, and you sitting out here, that's your go-to insult on anybody that talks shit about your sister, is, look at you, you whore.
Right.
You be getting naked. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
It's like, yeah, your sister did too, sweetie.
Yeah, it wasn't even purposeful. Anyway, Chloe Grace Moretz informed her, like,
that ain't me.
So, you know, you can leave me the fuck out of that. And she said, and Chloe Kardashian said, refrain from commenting on my family and our business, and I would do the same. I'm the last person to bully, but have an animal instinct to protect my and defend my family. But yeah, it sounds like Kardashians was fighting everybody yesterday. Okay, and this is why they continue to win. Okay, we got to take Beyonce's advice and get information, because apparently they will continue to dominate forever, because they strategy is just, the long game is undefeated. Okay, they keep, like, even not verifying that this picture was Khloe Grace Moretz, this means Khloe Kardashian kept this picture since March, right, hoping that she just would say something, like, not even like that. You can't even prove that tweet was about the Kardashians. You really can't.
Right.
And she was just waiting for anything. Like, if she would have been like, never trust a big butt with a smile, oh, Chloe would be like, bitch! You know what I mean? Like, it, she was going to get her ass, man. It was, Sunday Twitter, so good. Even the celebrities can't help themselves, y'all.
Right, because ain't nothing else happening.
Nothing happening on Sunday. No sports. It's nothing. It's one more man. Hold on, I gotta play the clip. But Ray Lewis is right, y'all.
Watch how much evil, which we call it crime. Watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
Why do you think that would happen?
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
That's what happened with no football. We gotta get NFL back, y'all.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do, Sal. But, oh my God. So good, man. So many people was just ready all day.
Who are you finna try? Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Cats, cats, cats. Who are you finna?
Yes!
That was yesterday, man. Everybody. Just on the timeline.
Keyboard banging.
I mean, this shit didn't even pop off till midnight. I mean.
Yeah, I was long gone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, so good. Thank you, Twitter.
Probably made people, they worked this morning fucking around with that up 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Never stop being you, Twitter, okay?
We no, need. Stop being you.
We need you to be you, Twitter, because without you, life just would not be the same. It would have no meaning. Taylor Swift got caught in a motherfucking lie. Changed the whole world. So when we went on the air yesterday.
Yes.
Some police got shot in Baton Rouge.
Oh.
Well, they found, you know, why are you saying that like it's news? We literally talked about it yesterday.
Yes, after the show, yes.
No, during the show. I was like, yes, some people got shot. We don't know the details.
Those officers they found dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Why do I do all the research? What's the point? I'm not gonna remember this tomorrow anyway. It's like doing a show with a gerbil, y'all. Just what? I don't know what you're talking about. That was 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I have too much on my mind. I'm sorry, baby.
It's all right. Social media. Wait, hold on. So apparently there were a few things. One. Someone created a fake account on social media after the gunman's name was announced, and they made a fake page as the killer, and it wasn't really him.
Wow.
Well, as soon as the name came out, within 4 minutes, they made a new, they made an account, for Gavin Long, and were taking credit and posting things on social media.
So do people just sit around and be like, I got you, and just post shit out there?
This is how predictable shootings are in America now, right?
True.
Someone sets up an account and they can literally just wait to be like, and send. Just all I gotta do is put in the name. Find a picture, put in the name. The fake Facebook account used the same name and also claimed he was from Kansas City. However, the profile picture was not of the 29-year-old. Instead, the photograph used was one of the first results found at the Google image search for black guy.
Oh, so you just put some random person's picture up there.
It was also posted on image sharing site PhotoBucket under the description, Aaron the Token Black Guy. A post published on the fake page read, didn't really die. The Baton Rouge cops are just incompetent evil scum that want everyone to think I'm dead. I'm on the run. The profession attracts egotistical, power hungry, trigger happy maniacs. Black Lives Matter must stand up and unite against this evil force. Mm-mm. So another person trying to,
ooh, the racist.
Some troll trying to conflate Black Lives Matter with fucking,
oh yeah, racists did that.
Spree killers.
Yeah, some racist person did that.
Another read, all cops turn bad, just a matter of time. The money they walk in on during drug busts, it corrupts them all. If you sign up to lock people up in cages like animals, knowing some are innocent, you have evil traits. And that's at a minimum. Most cops are attracted to the power and ego stroke and improvise them. The hoaxes were widely shared on social media by people believing them to be true. Because, of course.
People are dumb.
The page has since been taken down. Since the fake account was removed, real details have long been uncovered. The 29-year-old was in Louisiana celebrating his birthday. It was his birthday for real. And he had transformed himself into a life coach and self-styled alphapreneur under the name of Cosmo Setempenra. Setempenra? What does that even mean? Since leaving the military. So here's a thing that's weird. This is another person that left the military. I mean, the military, can have, you know, service can have some effects on people.
Yes, it can.
You know, in addition to, you know, learning how to handle a weapon and whatnot, you know, the mental part of it. And if it goes untreated, undocumented, if you don't get help, if you don't talk to anybody,
get the direct care. Yep.
Yeah. Who knows what people really go through? We just assume everybody's okay. Cause we don't want to, you know, you don't want to stigmatize people and stuff, but, that's one thing. Another thing, alphapreneur, he life coach. So he's one of those like hotep ladies do this, men do that. I'm an alpha male. And that is pretty consistent through a lot of these people that do these spree killings. There's a lot of them that have a lot of misogyny, that hate right. women.
Yes.
That are really into this idea of alpha and beta male, the subculture on the internet. Mm-hmm. It just says a lot, you know? Like, if luckily J.L. Kelvin never went to the military, I'd be worried about him, man.
Yes, sir.
You know? He also had a podcast, which advocated violent protests by African Americans when he claims he was in Dallas a short time after the police shootings in the city. He also said that he wasn't with Black Lives Matter. He's not with anybody. I remember that's a video people been sharing on Facebook.
Peace, family. What up with y'all? I'm in Dallas right now, and I just want to speak on the events that's going on right now and just some of the principles that I've already spoken about. Say, for instance, the holiday that just passed, Independence Day. Independence Day is really based on, say, George Washington and the Americans fighting against their oppressor, Britain. And we celebrate that. But when an African fights back, it's wrong. But every time a European fights back against his oppressor, he's right. Why is that? So we got to start questioning our mindset. 100% of revolutions of victims fighting their oppressors have been successful through fighting back. Zero have been successful just over simply protesting. If y'all want to keep protesting, do that. But for the serious ones, the real ones, the alpha ones, we know what it's going to take. It's only fighting back or money. That's all they care about. Revenue and blood. Revenue and blood. Revenue and blood. Nothing else.
Now get that alkaline up out your diet. Cause that's why you keep having periods.
Mm-hmm. He's fucking insane.
Start eating these. Yeah, stop eating these batteries. That's the real problem. But yeah, he. So it doesn't sound like he was with the protest.
Double A, triple A ain't enough. Got to get them D's.
Right. Some of y'all over here eating C batteries instead of D batteries.
I gotta get them D's for this dick.
It sounds like one thing. It sounds like he's not with the movement.
Of course.
Right. Which every black person knew.
Right.
And so some people, you know, they've been falling right into the trap because racist people are like, Black Lives Matter is killing people. That's pretty much the way they're going to handle it. You know, no nuance, no, you know, like when
care.
Cops kill black people, that same media doesn't, they go, hold up now. Each thing is an individual. What did they do wrong? What do we know? And all this, when somebody kills cops, it's like every black person is responsible for that. We all pull the trigger, right? But when cops do something and those people go unpunished, nobody killed Freddie Gray. Right?
Nobody, right?
Another one of those cops got off today. Nobody killed Freddie Gray, but apparently everybody killed those cops, which is, it's fucked up, man, you know? So he had a whole other persona that was like an online guru and shit. You know, just a hotel, basically. And, yeah, he shot three cops that he killed. And I think he injured some more that, are in the hospital or whatnot. So coming off of the Dallas thing, I mean, it's just the violence is just getting, it's escalating, man. I don't know what you do. There's so many guns in this country, and I don't think you can put the lid back on that bottle.
Nope.
You know, and all it seems to do is exacerbate the problem, because people want cops to be even more vigilant and even more on edge and even more ready. So it's just going to lead to more people getting fucked up and dying, because these people that already are scared as fuck of just unreasonably scared of just your average black citizen are going to now be even more unreasonably scared and feel completely justified in it because of people like this, you know. Some sad shit though. But yeah, he had a podcast and everything.
I bet you it was on Blog Talk.
That is the home of the crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Like anybody that's like that, they normally is on Blog Talk.
Many of his posts and products are dedicated to this idea of what it means to be an alpha male. In a video posted on his Twitter page, he said he'd been in Dallas after five officers were shot and killed last week. The video posted on July 10th, 3 days after the attack, was titled "My Body Cam Footage of Me in Dallas Out in Them Streets Educating Our People." You know, that's another thing too, is they always talk about with the spree killer people that you gotta have copycats, you have people that are inspired by them and things of that nature. So he probably was inspired by the Michael X dude, you know, Michael Xavier dude. Investigators say Long traveled from Kansas City to Dallas by rental car, then continued to Baton Rouge. Yeah, he definitely picked that place on purpose, right? His website linked to LinkedIn profile for Cosmo Setepenra, a name he recently adopted, noting that he graduated from Central Texas College in 2011 with an associate's degree and also studied at Clark Atlanta University from 2012 to 2013. Long officially filed paperwork in Jackson County, Missouri last year, declaring himself Cosmo Setepenra. A sovereign citizen, the people that believe they don't have to pay taxes, of the United Washita de Dugda Moundia Maur Nation, a loosely affiliated network of mostly African Americans who claim to be Native American and don't believe the U.S. government has jurisdiction over them. Investigators are examining his online activity and interviewing his family to understand why and when he attacked. So far, his interest in sovereign citizen movement does not appear to have played a significant role in the attack, a senior federal law enforcement official told NBC News. Investigators instead believe he acted on his own and was not directed or inspired by a particular group of ideology. The official described Long as angry and mentally troubled. Long seemed to indicate as much in the days before the attack. You know, what's funny is, like, when it happened, everybody, they were like, we're on the lookout for the other suspects. It was one dude.
By himself.
Second time, one dude got his hand on a weapon that was able to unleash a lot of shit. You know, right. People always say this, we need more guns and good guys with guns. Well, if cops are good guys with guns, it seemed like the element of surprise and superior firepower is still leading to lost lives. So even before you can mitigate the loss, you know that you still end up with, you know, dead people,
right? People ask for any type of regulations, they're like, nah, fuck that. I think our country has gotten to the point where the loss of life is just gonna be part of the deal.
Yeah, people don't care.
No, they don't.
And now that it's happening to police, they might care a little bit, but even then, you'll never hear a word about gun control and all this.
They're not going to care enough. If they didn't care about all them dead white children, we'll never care.
On July 8th, he sent a foreboding email to several people, including online radio show host Lance Skirvin, saying he acted alone in everything he did. I just want everyone to know that if anything may happen to me or with me, I'm not affiliated with anybody, any group, nationality, association, religion, corporation, business, etc. He wrote, he told them to look at his YouTube videos just in case anything happens. 3 days later, he wrote the group again, this time to focus on the July 5th killing of Alton Sterling by Baton Rouge police. He argued for the release of officers' body cam footage, saying the public should not take the word of the police who say the cameras fell off during the encounter. This is why they treat us like shit, because one, they can tell us anything and we will accept it without questioning, and two, we don't stand on our rights. We must stop being quote unquote adults, meaning We must get back to our childlike curiosity, he wrote. Long, who turned 29 on Sunday, the day of the shooting, spent a semester at the University of Alabama, where he made the dean's list, according to the school's website. A spokesperson for the school confirmed with NBC News that he attended there for one semester in the spring of 2012.
Ooh, maybe that's just me, but I don't give a fuck where he went to school.
Well, I mean, it's Alabama. Maybe that's where he learned to be racist. I don't know. Maybe some schism happened to him up in there.
Yeah.
He was legally divorced from Ariana Osha in May 2011, according to Missouri State Records, which say that he sought the divorce.
He sought the divorce.
Mm-hmm. They published a marriage announcement for the couple in July 22, 2009 in the Kansas City Star. A summons against him for delinquent city earnings taxes was issued April 2016. The case was dismissed June 7, 2016, though the events preceding it are unclear as they're unavailable online.
Honey, be good he handed you them papers, baby.
Yeah. He was a Marine sergeant from 2005 to 2010 and was deployed to Iraq from June 2008 to January 2009, according to military records obtained by NBC News. So... yeah, it's in a YouTube video posted July 8th, Long goes out of his way to claim he's not affiliated with any movement or individual. I want to let y'all, if anything happens to me, don't affiliate me with nothing. I'm affiliated with the spirit of justice, nothing more, nothing less,
because I'm crazy.
Yeah, I feel like people feel they're pushed up against a wall, and in his mind he probably sees himself as like some Nat Turner type shit.
But it ain't the same, baby.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but in his mind,
yeah,
like the times are so treacherous for black folks that I think these guys that are doing this shit see themselves as like heroes.
True.
And I've seen people celebrate them as heroes. Hell, we talked about it last week. Some people got arrested behind that shit, talking about how they the real heroes and thank you Michael Johnson and all this shit. Like, people are celebrating these dudes, and maybe that is that people feel like we need some revolutionary change, and nonviolence and peace ain't the way to do it,
because they be like, we've been marching and shit ain't changed.
Yeah, I mean
it really
I don't
has,
know what you say when somebody yeah. I don't know what you say when somebody gets to that point, because you know, you would hope there's like some mental health intervention or something that could like solve that, but
mental
I don't know.
Health, you know, black folks don't have no mental health issues.
I don't even want to. Nah, I'm not even pinning that on black folks, because white people shoot up way more shit than niggas do.
Right. People. So it's not even mental health issues.
Yeah. So to me, it's not that. I'm just saying this dude watch the same news we watch. Mm-hmm. He see the same stories and the same injustice that we're privy to. You would just hope that at some point there would be some intervention, you know?
Yep.
I mean, there's no way to know he would do this, because essentially when you do this, it's suicide by cop, because while you may kill them, they are still the police, and there's way more of them and way more organized with way more weapons. They are going to kill you.
Yes, and when I was making that, it's one of those things where if there were signs and things like that, it's just one of those things. But yeah, I think when you do this, you just need help. You know, all across our country, you just need help. But it's one of those things where, for black people in general, even if he showed signs, you know, a lot of people might have ignored it, didn't pay that shit no attention.
I'm not gonna let that slide. I think that's easy to just say, but, like I said, you have way more people that kill motherfuckers that are not black. You know what I mean? There's just way too many of all the spree killers in America. Most of them are not black. So if it was just about the stigma of mental health in the black community, then we would have more of this shit. Like, it's like, this is a couple of people. I don't want to just chalk it up to like, well, because he was black, nobody cared, or no black people around him was trying to help him. We don't know that.
That's true. But also, a lot of times with the white folks, once this happened, they're more apt to say it was a mental health thing, versus when we do the shit,
but
it's,
that's
it's
a media,
more ignored.
But that's a media thing.
That's true, though.
That's not, we don't decide that.
No, we don't.
He clearly had mental issues. I just said that on the show. You agree he had mental issues, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not, I didn't write the Daily Mail article. I didn't write any of these other articles about him that refused to discuss him on a mental health issue like a human being. Like, No, Micah Johnson was not talked about with his mental health. We don't know if he tried to get help. We don't know if people around him noticed that he needed help. We don't know any of that shit. Because when you black and you do some shit like this, you default is you just a nigga. And Black Lives Matter killed him. That's the default.
Right. And I do believe that there are people all across the board that actually need mental health issues that are unaddressed. But like I said before, and like I said, the argument is not with you, it's more of with like the article itself, because one of those things where when these white men get caught for these spree shooters, the first thing they question is their mental health.
Yeah, that's fine. I just don't want it to be one of those, well, you know, black people, we don't get no help. Like, I don't know that that's what this was, you know? Like, I understand that, you know, there's stereotypes and stigmas and I'm sure there's data to even back some of this shit up. But when it comes to somebody that fucking shoots up a bunch of places, like, I don't know that we should be looking at it like, well, that's the black community's failing of not getting mental health, taking it seriously. And I think the journalists that report on these things never consider that when it's black people. It's just, it's just niggas. Oh. He was motivated by, you know, racism or something.
Right. And that's my point too. I think in our country, period, we don't take mental health seriously. And a lot of times for a lot of black people, you don't have access to it and yada, yada, yada. But like I said, I guess my biggest argument about, it is that like, when people do this, depend on how your race is, depend on how the story is told. Told very differently.
Well, no, I agree with that. I didn't get that from your initial comment, but yes, I agree with that. Of course, one of the cops he shot was black, and it's just really sad and, you know, ironic. I mean, he's a black man, black family, black kid, gunned down indiscriminately by this madman, you know, and he had posted on social media about how he felt by how these shootings of innocent black people were being treated by the cops. So like, he was on social media himself. Montrell Jackson was his name. He's 32 years old. He's a 10-year veteran of the force, and he had recently become a father. He also shared a message on social media about his struggles being a black police officer in the wake of the Dallas shootings. Disappointed in some family, friends, or officers for some reckless comments, but hey, what's in your heart is in your heart. I still love you all because hate takes too much energy, but I definitely won't be looking at you the same. Thanks to everyone that reached out to me or my wife. It was needed and much appreciated. I swear to God, I love this city, but I wonder if this city loves me. In uniform, I get nasty looks, and out of uniform, some consider me a threat. I've experienced so much in my short life, and these last 3 days have tested me to the core. When people you know begin to question your integrity, you realize they don't really know you at all. Look at my actions. They speak loud and clear. The city must and will get better. I'm working in these streets, so any protesters, officers, friends, family, and whoever, if you see me and need a hug or want to say a prayer, I got you. Yeah, it's just sad, you know. Finally, I personally want to send prayers out to everyone directly affected by this tragedy. These are trying times. Please don't let the hate infect your heart. Like, yeah, he's gone, because Buddy was just like, I'm killing everybody. I don't give a fuck.
Right, and there has to be something wrong with you to do this, yes.
Yeah, people see it as like conceding. It's fucked up, because internet culture does have people to this point where you're all one thing or you're all the other.
Right.
You know, that's why I wasn't mad at Trevor Noah's statement, and I'm not mad at people that are in certain spaces have to concede to the white gaze. We don't have to do that here, really, because it's our own platform. Mm-hmm. But even in my heart of hearts, I do feel bad when officers get killed.
Yes.
Like, because I'm still a human being, and I refuse to let myself turn into what these trolls do to us. I'm like, that's the real loss. Like, when I lose my humanity because these motherfuckers have trolled me so hard. I don't have anything left. So now the hate is infecting me. I felt sad for that woman, who lost her job, but when she posted the video and she was like, you know, I found myself not feeling sad when those police officers died. You know, and she ended up losing her job, but I understood she was sad, by the way. She was crying, but her point was, I don't want to let this shit infect me into being as hateful and callous as people are towards us.
Right, because you can literally get to the point where it can harden your heart, where you don't allow your heart to have compassion. You don't allow your heart to understand other people's plights, because you're just so tired and just so exhausted from constantly, like I said, constantly getting trolled, constantly getting badgered, constantly being criticized. It's just a constant attack. And for some people, it's one of those things where it's almost like you never get a relief. You know, you deal with it in your everyday life, and then you're on TV, you're on the radio, you go on the internet, and you're just constantly there. That's why what you said the other day, I completely agree with. Sometimes you got to tap out. Sometimes you go like, nah, not today, and not me.
Yeah, my thing is just that, regardless, I just don't want to let it change who I am and right. The kind of person I am. I still want to love people. I still want to have a heart for people. I still want to have empathy for people. I'm not going to turn off my empathy to make somebody else feel better. Cause I mean, they have broken a lot of people, and some people are never, cause it's fucked up what's being happening to us. And some people are never going to come back. Like,
nope.
They're broken. They're never going to not be broken. Like, this shit has completely taken away all the, you know, cause the trolling is so constant, the disappointment in your friends and your family, right, and other black people, like the disillusionment that you have when you just see somebody post like "All Lives Matter." You know, I was so upset when I made that post about how, you know, Tommy Norman's hugging those kids is not gonna solve, like that's not, like that's just a distraction, and I'm not saying anything bad about him. And seeing some of the responses I got back, it lets you know, like, certain people are just not invested in this idea of having a conversation that is meaningful. They just want to escape back to whatever it is they were doing. And yeah, when you see people respond that way, it's disappointing, man. Cause you're like, how could you fall for something so small? But I don't want to lose my compassion. Like, I still, when I see those videos of him hugging those kids, I still feel good. Cause I'm like, that's better than what it would be. I just need the whole police force to be more like that.
Right. I think
it ain't just him.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people use that as a way of escape. And also, it's one of the things we talked about before, is for some people, it's a defense mechanism. It's like, right, what can make me feel good right now? I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to discuss. I know I see it on my timeline. I see it on my feed. I don't want to talk to my coworkers about it. I just want to, you know, kind of, do everything to make the situation not appear to be what it is, but it is what it is, and that's something you can't run away from,
you know. But on some real shit, so is saying that you won't be sad when cops die is also a defense mechanism.
Yes, it is.
The people, you know, I see through that bullshit, man. When people say stuff like, you know, I hope they don't catch them, when you, like, when someone kills a police officer, like, nah, man, like, that's fucked up, you know. Like the, you don't meet, I don't know, man. It's just,
yeah, it comes from a place of
everybody pain. Has their own mental anguish and shit they're going through, and their own ways of coping, but
right,
it's a coping mechanism when people try to turn that fucking cold, man. Like, it's like that's not a healthy place to be, in my opinion.
It's not.
On some, like, random innocent police gotta die because random innocent black people are dying, and that's better. Like, it doesn't, it never brings anybody back. It doesn't balance the scales. It just, you know, I understand what people are saying. You don't want to have to put a disclaimer before every time you talk about this shit. We're like, now I think most police are good, and the ones that do a good job, and I'm thankful for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what if you feel that way? That, right? Like, what if it's not a ruse? What if it's not because I want white people to keep listening, or I want white people on Twitter to do this, that? What if I really genuinely think, when I think of the police coming to, like, whenever I'm in trouble, and I the first person I'm gonna call is a cop and hope that this is a good one. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of the YMCA, there's a couple officers I know there from working there that I'm like, seem like cool dudes to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to die. If I heard they died over some bullshit, I would be sad because I know them. You know, like, it's not so cut and dry for me. It's not theoretical for me. All I want them is to stop killing us.
That's it.
Everything else is kind of secondary. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to die either. You know, that's really why I cried in the car that day. It was like, I don't want y'all to die. Why y'all want me to die?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what's so scary about my life, about me existing here? That was the thing that drove me to tears, because it was like, I don't feel good after that person killed the cops. I felt more like, damn, they're breaking us, and we're starting to feel like this is the solution when it's not, you know? And by we, I don't really mean we, but when you see the responses that person gets, and you have people co-signing it, and you have people locking them up as a hero and stuff, you do feel some level of like, yo, are they, have we been broken? Like, are people starting to break now where they're just like, yo, this is as good as anything, because that's as much justice we're going to get. Like, we're never going to get it in court. We're never going to get it in the streets. We're never going to get it in life, but we can kill some people and that'll make it even. Like, if that's where people are at with this, that's just a sad statement, a really depressing statement on society, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to another article. Lauryn Hill was hit with a $438,000 tax lien.
She still ain't paying her tax. Well, yeah, but she ain't showing up. That's why she still owe that money.
The state of New Jersey has hit Lauryn Hill with a tax lien, claiming she owes over $400,000 in taxes. That's just from the state of New Jersey.
Well, you know what? I sad to tell her, they got their alignment right and aligned you with that bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure she'll pay it later. Much later.
Mm-hmm. Go to jail.
Forgot to set my alarm. I'm gonna pay my taxes.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get in tune with your piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. That's what it really was.
They gonna be like, tune this, clank clank. Lock your ass up. You can go to jail on time. I'm trying to tell you, because when they come get you, it's right on time.
Yeah, it's right on time. Every time,
every
as they
time.
Would say,
because they will come find your ass. They don't care nothing about your alignment, your tune in, your tune up. They don't give a damn. They're gonna take your ass to jail. Just start showing your ass up on time.
Well, you know, this is how it goes sometimes, man. I mean, she might win some, but she just lost a whole lot of money.
Yeah, she did a whole lot of dollars.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's see what else is going on in the news these days. Oh, I know what we need to cover.
What's that?
Give me 1 second. Where is it at? Oh yeah, there we go. Right, it's white folks news time.
I like that song.
Jenny McCarthy. Hey, I didn't say you can't like what white people like. Okay. Black people, we appropriate from white people all the time.
We sure do.
We appropriated ass eating, you know. Eat the booty like groceries. Who, tell me Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't doing that first.
Mm-hmm.
Had him in his fridge and everything.
And something else we appropriated. We appropriated a lot of their songs, particularly in the church, because I am a friend of God. Niggas used to laugh at that song. We up there singing it now, too.
Mm-hmm. Or As We Lay.
Hey.
Debbie Kelly Price. She's singing that at the church.
Ha-ha!
Yeah, so in white folks news, Tara Reid went on the Jenny McCarthy show for a little interview, and it got a little contentious.
I have to talk to you about Marriage Boot Camp because I fucking love you on that show. But are you glad you did it? Are you glad that you did Marriage?
I think it's the whole thing's absolutely like so stupid and silly. And, like, we're not even talking about it because there's confusing things about it. So, like, right now we're just talking about Sharknado. So it's not even...
Oh, you're kind of... You're
So she, Terry's there to promote your favorite franchise, Sharknado. And Jenny McCarthy wanted to ask her about her time on Marriage Boot Camp. And Terry was like, I don't even want to talk about it.
Right, because that's not what I came here for. They didn't tell me about this. I might have opted out the interview.
Okay, all right. I think that's a reasonable question to ask, but Karen thinks it's not.
Just talk about Sharknado, so it's not even.
Oh, you're kind of you're yeah. So someone's pissed off at them.
It's not worth the time to talk about.
Oh my god, but I loved it so much.
By the way, Tara Reid sounds absolutely shit hammered.
Did they take shots when they start recording?
Well, Tara Reid lives in a state of inebriation. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Are you pissed off
too? No, that's
are you pissed off at the people's comments or just the show in general?
Babe, I asked you, please let's not talk about this show. We're all here about Sharknado.
Okay, so let's talk about Sharknado. So did you have to get into shape for Sharknado, or are you in the still same awesome shape you've always been?
No, I mean, it's not like you really have to get into it. It's Sharknado. It's like fake sharks. I mean, they're rubber. Do you know what I mean? They have to have...
Like, work out, bitch, for what? Show, I woke up like this. Show up to the set of Sharknado for what? Doing a push-up.
We only film 2 weeks, girl.
So we don't even see them, so.
You didn't actually have to outswim them.
Yeah, no, like, we didn't think I, right?
I would have been like Terminator 2, and I would have gotten like, that badass, like, muscle-shaped and come back as, you know what I mean? So I didn't know if you try to, like, diet or work out or get into...
No, I mean, I do the same thing. I do yoga during the week, and, you know, like, I climb by my house, you know, but nothing crazy, nothing strenuous or anything. But
now, did people talked about your surgeries before. Are you still going through surgeries, or are you past them?
No, I haven't had any surgery for a while, Jenny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I could tell by the fact that she said Jenny's name right there, she mad. She don't like that she talked about them surgeries. Now, I'm asking, do you feel like Jenny is trying to start some shit, or you just feel like these are just questions and Tara's just reacting badly?
Well, it just depends. It might have been because the way it sounds from her response is she might have told them, don't ask her these questions. Now, if she didn't, it's a free fall. But she may have been like, hey, I'm here to talk about this and I don't really want to talk about nothing else. And she was like, fuck that. I'm going to ask you about it anyway.
She
got the right to be mad because she was like, hey, I told you we weren't going to talk about this today.
I mean, cause it's like, you're Tara Reid, dog. I'm not interviewing Shakespeare here, you know? Like, we gonna have to talk about something.
True, too. And she smashed, so.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still going through surgeries, or are you past them?
No, I haven't had any surgery for a while, Jenny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you too.
And I'm glad that you've been kind of open about it.
She said, yeah, you too.
Because I hate when people, you know, say, no, I've never done anything. And you've been kind of pretty open about things going wrong, but it's...
And you can see Tara Reid is talking to somebody else that is not on the radio with them.
Hi, Tara.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were talking to somebody else. So you look great now. So you're good and done not moving forward with plastic surgery.
I think I made that clear like about 100 times. I know.
By the way, because you fucking started talking about something else in the middle of this and I'm trying to get the show back on track, I had to go back to that question. Like, we could have moved to something else.
Oh, she being rude.
But now I got to ask your ass again. And you can tell, well, in my opinion, I think Jenny McCarthy's getting a little fucking fed up, and that's why she went back to that touchy topic, because she was like, well, fuck you then, bitch.
True.
Talk about them scars.
But in my thing, why did you take the interview then?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably someone else booked it for Tara Reid.
That's true, too.
To come on there and promote her shit. You know, that's how they do in those circles.
That's true, too.
Not moving forward with plastic surgery.
I think I made that clear, like, about 100 times. I know.
I didn't hear that 100 times. I'm so sorry.
Maybe this is, you only read the bad things, but I've been made that really clear so many years. But
so does it
read what you want to read? But I think, you know, it was really nice talking to you, and I really good luck with your show. And
good luck to you too. And I'm so excited about Sharknado, and I hope you stay married.
Now that was a shot.
Woo!
That
Yes, because she was like, bitch, how the fuck you going to cancel the interview?
That was a shot. That was, there's no mistaking.
Yeah.
Exactly what that was.
Yeah, because she was like, you get mad at me. I had to repeat the question because you were talking to somebody else. And then you going to cancel the interview. You're not going to even let me get into any in-depth discussion with you.
Oh, my God. Jeez, I hope you stay married. Oh, shit.
And she probably walked out and cussed the person who ever set that interview up. Don't you fucking put me on her goddamn show again.
Oh, that is peak white woman shade right there. I hope you stay married.
Talking to you, and I really good luck with your show. And
good luck to you too. Awesome. And I'm so excited about Sharknado. And I hope you stay married. And I hope that
you stay married too.
I will. And I hope your knees get a little wobblier than they already are.
Oh, oh,
oh yeah. She mad. She walked out that interview. That's what that boiled down to. She is mad because. She like, you've been rude the whole time. You won't talk about shit.
You came in drunk, probably.
Right. That's her slurring. Yeah, I don't blame
her. Yeah, it's not the host slurring. I mean, would the host be slurring?
Yeah. Yeah, she was like, you come in fucked up. Because I guarantee you, the way she sounds, that's not no medication.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your medication is vodka.
That shit was peak white woman shade. She said, I hope you can get a little wobblier.
You awesome. Too, and I'm so excited about Sharknado, and I hope you stay married, and I hope that...
you stay married, too. I
will.
And by the way, she, Tara Reade so wasted, she didn't even have a good comeback. She's just like, y'all, you get married, too, ugh, bitch. She said, I hope you stay married, too, nice guy.
And I hope your knees get a little wobblier than they already are. So
I think my knees.
Day.
Oh yeah, I hope your tits get even nicer. Cause they're amazing. Same guy did mine, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, I hope your tits get even nicer. They're amazing. Same surgeon as mine. That's how bad Tyree's surgery went on her titties. She was like, "You got the same surgeon as me, bitch. I know your titties fucked up. I know you got pepperoni slices on your nipples right now."
Oh. They already are. So I think have
mine
a good is. Day.
Oh yeah, I hope your tits get even nicer because they're amazing. Same guy as mine, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Same guy.
Fantastic.
Yes. Same guy.
I'll always use your advice. You're the best. Bye.
Love you, Tara. Good luck with Sharknado 18.
She got them jokes. She got them jokes.
Oh. Good luck with Sharknado 18. Oh,
that was good. That was good.
Was, all right. I know how to pick my. Everybody thought Taylor Swift was going to be my white people news of the day.
Ah!
But I got lots of in white people news.
Woo, that was good.
Also in white people news, you guys remember Aaron Carter?
Mm-hmm.
White kid.
Singer?
Yes. Yeah. I think
I heard of him in a hot minute.
Didn't he make a song about hanging out with Shaq or some shit?
Shit, he may have. He grown ass man now.
It's not so cute anymore.
All right.
Cute
when you're a little kid.
It's a grown ass adult. Yeah, Aaron's party, come get it. I want candy was his song. That's how I beat Shaq. Yeah, that was the one I remember. That's how I beat Shaq.
That.
Okay, Shaq was in the video with him. For this song.
What year was this song, man?
I don't know, Ken. You ask me questions.
Hit it! Woo. Come on! Here we go. Yo, guys, check it out. Guess what happened to me? Another crazy story? Come on, see? I was hanging at the court, just playing some ball. Working on my game. Yeah, we heard it all. I heard the fans screaming. It was for me, but then I saw a shadow. It was 12 for 3, it was Shaquille O'Neal. What did he say?
How about some one-on-one, you wanna play?
I told him why not, I got some time. But when I beat you real bad, try not to cry. Please, Aaron, are you for real? One-on-one with Shaquille O'Neal? Yeah, 34-7.
So that's him.
Yeah, something about a good point. That sounded like some kids bop. Did he sing for kids bop?
I don't know. Well, anyway, He was slapped with a lawsuit from a former employee who claimed that the singer refused to pay him after he designed and maintained his website. John Cantu reportedly claims he agreed to develop a webpage for Aaron's party's artists with the full expectation for the Aaron's party artists with the full expectation that he be paid for his efforts. When he requested payment last month, Carter allegedly scoffed and deemed him an unpaid intern. However, Cantu says he didn't learn anything from the pop star, and making the title of intern made the title of intern unjustified. He's now suing Carter for $50,000 in hope of being compensated after running the site for several months. He also reportedly shut down the website, briefly replacing its contents with a link to his personal Twitter account while urging visitors to follow a genius.
That's what you do. Yeah, you ain't gonna pay me, your shit ain't gonna run.
Carter has since ordered him to forfeit the control of the page, which Cantu says he'll do once he gets paid.
I know that's right.
The webpage for AaronCarter.com is now only occupied by ads sponsored by GoDaddy.com.
That's right, fuck you, pay me.
It's unclear if Aaron Carter actually agreed to pay Cantu for his services before he created the website, or if Cantu just assumed he'd be compensated. Carter's agent did not immediately respond to the Daily News request for comment, but the singer appeared to subtly defend himself with a pointed tweet Sunday morning. There is a sufficiency in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. I rest my case.
Bitch, what? Sound like Jaden Smith. What's wrong with you?
Hold up. But yeah.
Yeah, pay that man. I guarantee you he wouldn't have done that shit for free.
He filed for bankruptcy in 2013 after finding himself more than $2 million in debt.
Woo!
He recently chronicled his financial struggles on an episode of Spike's Life of Debt series. Carter has also made headlines this year for supporting Donald Trump for president, only to revoke his endorsement several months later. I'm like, he revoked
How
that dude's
old is
payment.
He? 25? He gotta be old.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Too old for this.
For that
bullshit. These foolish games.
Yeah, who are these people searching for him?
Mm-hmm. In more white folks news, Drew Barrymore filed for divorce from her ex, Will Koppelman.
Okay, I know who Drew Barrymore is. Who's
there you
the,
go.
Who's the other dude?
Her ex, Will Koppelman.
I don't know what he done.
That's right.
Well, he ain't that important.
She's a 41-year-old actress. He's a 38-year-old art dealer. And they announced their split back in April, but did not file papers until now. There were no messy fights, it seems, between the former couple, who were friends for years before they started dating in 2011. In a statement about that split, Drew and Will said that their 3-year-old daughter, Olive, 2-year-old daughter, Frankie, were the first priority. So there you go. It must be nice to be so rich you can just divorce nicely like that.
Right, because everybody got money.
Yeah. Like, you ready to move on? I'm ready to move on.
All right,
then.
Peace.
Well, shit, then. I holler at you. Don't holler at me no more.
Yeah, get packers and movers and everybody go their separate ways. So mm-hmm. One of you stay and the other one leave.
There you go. All right. Let's get into our segments. Where are we at here? We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. We back. Everybody is back, guys. Pierce Morgan. He's back in the news. He wrote a essay, think piece, editorial, who says, "Where's your rage for Montrell, Beyonce, or don't Black Lives Matter as much if they're cops?" That's what he wrote. Mm-hmm. Now, Pierce Morgan is obsessed with Beyonce.
Yes, he is.
And he is also obsessed with trolling black people. Like, his penis gets hard every time he controls some American black people. Like, mm-hmm. He went across the pond and the motherfucking heart grew 3 sizes because he talked the most shit from over there. When he was over here in the U.S. trying to make it, his ass was failing on TV, but trying to keep it real, trying to stay out of trouble. Now he's back overseas and he is just like let me start some shit.
Yeah, because when he said that crazy, we had the trans woman on his show, and mm-hmm. he said that, and black folks was clapping back like, hey dog, that's not appropriate. From then on, he was on that fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he decided that she did not have enough to say about him, and he's very upset with Beyonce for this. Mm-hmm. It's time we come together to agree that all lives matter equally and strive to achieve that goal. Or as Montrell Jackson's sister said, no lives matter. Which is it to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you spell it right.
Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter was a well-intentioned idea that's gone bad very quickly and now represents a real and present danger to all police officers of all colors. The bottom line is this: if Black Lives Matter so much, why are Black Americans executing Black Americans? So this is like a roundabout way of getting to that black-on-black crime, huh?
Yeah, but that's all that matters. Because you don't care.
Yeah. So, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, yeah, fuck him, 100.
100. All right. Let me make another session for this right quick.
Yeah, that's his thing. His thing is just trolling. Like, it was like, oh, they ain't talked about me in a month or 2 weeks or however long. He does that shit for attention. I don't care what nobody said. That shit's for fucking attention. Because yeah. Other than that, it makes no sense.
I mean, he's a middling person, a middling talent anyway. Like, it's not like anybody sat around and goes, yeah, you read that new Piers Morgan piece? He finally really hit home. You know, it's between him and Ta-Nehisi Coates when it's time to talk about race. Those are my go-to guys, Piers Morgan. And
and over here, he didn't have that big following that he thought he was gonna get either.
Right, he just got the pulse of America, Piers Morgan, just able to get to the true crux of the issue that other people just miss out time and time again. But Piers Morgan, always there for us.
Yes, he is.
Always ready to spread the word.
Always.
So yeah, I give him 100. But he's up there with like Stacey Dash or Racy Trash. I mean,
right.
And Raven, come on. My man A$AP Rocky is back. We just talked about him yesterday. We say he was a complicated character. It's hard to really get a grip on a dude like this because, in the one hand, he's in a commercial about Black Lives Matter and police violence and stuff, and then in the next hand, he was giving an interview talking about, I live in Beverly Hills. I can't relate to that shit, nigga.
Right.
Well, apparently, he went on Twitter to address the fact that this interview came back up. He says, if niggas want to gas interviews from over a year ago, be my guest. All this social injustice makes me fucking sick, though I'm still no politician. He then said, I know my statement seemed insensitive, but the sad thing is you base your thoughts of me off an interview from 2015 that you never even fully read. First of all, dog, 2015 is like, it was like just here.
6-7 months ago. Right.
He said this shit like 2015 happened like, remember 2015 when the first Star Wars came out? You know, like.
Dog, we still in July.
Right. Most of y'all are puppets who get your life morals from a timeline. In real life, I actually changed my niggas' lives. First black man in history to face Dior. So it's saying to be the face of the brand Dior. And he, also said, first y'all say I'm Illuminati, then I'm gay. They didn't say I don't like dark skinned chicks and red lipstick. Well, you did say that though. Now I'm done.
These are your words.
Right. Idiot. Now I'm dumb and don't care about blacks. Fuck all these cop killing urban youth them, and fuck all y'all niggas for dick riding on Bash Rocket Day. Laugh my ass off until next time, Twitter. So there you go.
Just another layer to the complexity, another layer to the chocolate cake.
People get so defensive, man.
So but they're defensive. Using your words, dog. Like, you said this. He said it, right?
He said that.
Okay.
Yeah. But you ain't read the whole interview.
Because that was last year. We covered that when he was talking about the girls in the lipstick, right?
Unless the answer to the next question is, I was just kidding. Shut the fuck up. Because we took the meaning exactly how you meant it.
Right.
At any rate, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, he get 100.
The Republican National Convention is underway, and they had to scramble to remove signs for some elevators because the sign said white elevators.
Why? Because they right.
It didn't say whites only elevators, but it said elevators.
It said, because they right. The elevator was white and right because that's what they meant.
Yeah, apparently.
Niggas don't put your ass on these elevators.
Well, you know, I feel bad for all the black Republicans that won't get to secretly ride the white elevator. Like,
unless you
help. They took the signs down. Oh, wait, and ASAP Rocky gives 100 for me. I'm sorry. I forgot if I said that. That's 100. Yeah, apparently the signs were spotted in Cleveland's Quicken Loans Arena. It's unclear how or why the signs were posted. The discovery comes amid controversy swelling around the GOP's presumptive nominee Donald Trump and his racist-ass views. So yeah.
So you mean to tell me that nobody prior to the doors open, cause you know they have to, you know, don't people go in there and set up before the crowds and shit come in, don't you?
They caught this before the doors open as far as like for the RNC convention, but not before somebody, you know, but whoever caught it, somebody else caught it on picture too.
Right. Cause somebody thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why niggas be like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna take me back to the Jim Crow laws, you know, the shit my mama would tell me about because she's still alive and living. And, you know, she was a little girl and they had colors only bathrooms and color only water fountain. Word, we wanna go back there. We think that shit's funny. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So 0 to 100.
Oh, yeah, 100.
All right. I give it 100 as well. Well, yeah, I give it 100. Fuck it. No, wait. No, I don't. No. I bet you it's like blue elevators, red elevators, white elevators, you know.
Oh, because they're colorblind.
Probably coincidence. I feel bad.
It should have said colorblind elevators. Then I'd be like, okay, cool. All elevators matter.
All elevators matter, y'all. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it 75. Anti-choice activists attempt to hijack Black Lives Matter to shame women for abortion. Last week, the news was dominated by the specter of racism and violence after the well-publicized death of two Black men at the hands of the police following the horrific shooting of police officers providing security for a Black Lives Matter protest. Most of the discussion was centered around issues like how to reduce violence and build trust that, and the role that racism plays in violence and how to balance human rights with the need for security. But one subset of conservatives, all that mattered less than their real concern, which was women having sex without having babies. And so they were so mad, that all this race and violence talk might distract from the real tragedy, the real discussion of abortion, that they redoubled their efforts to hijack the Black Lives Matter conversation and turn it towards their obsession with abortion. While liberal Twitter was busy talking about the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, conservative Twitter was lighting up with increased activity on the hashtag Unborn Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Many of the tweets focused on shaming liberals for believing there are more important things to worry about than women terminating unwanted pregnancies. One is a picture of a belly that says the original safe space. It says the original safe space. We all been there, literally. Radiance.life, hashtag unborn lives matter.
No, that's not a safe space if you're black. For a lot of people.
Oh, so you agree with them then that it should be a safe space because women shouldn't be allowed to have abortions?
No, I don't agree. Because
that's
them.
The point they're making.
Oh, but no, not, I don't safe. Agree with them.
Okay, because I'm just saying you said the thing that they said was that it's not, it should be safe and it's not safe. So why don't y'all care about that, niggers?
No, I'm saying okay. they don't care. They're pretending like they care, but they don't care about that safe space that they claim they care about.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure before, you know, I don't want no letters.
No, I don't agree with them, but they're making a false ultimatum because you really don't give a fuck. But you're pretending like you do give a fuck.
Yeah. Unborn lives matter.
Fuck out of here with that.
Trending for a second. So 0 to 100.
Yeah, 100, man. Oh.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100 as well, guys. Oh,
cause, man, god damn it. Cause it's one of the things we talk about, Black Lives Matter, and you come talking about fucking unborn children. Get out of here.
An African-American dishwasher lost his job after breaking a stained glass panel at Yale's Calhoun Residential College dining hall that depicted slaves carrying bales of cotton. The dishwasher, Corey Menifee, said he used a broomstick to knock the panel to the floor. He said he was tired of looking at the racist, very degrading image.
He had enough.
The city police arrested Menifee, who's now facing who was facing a felony charge that he had the charge dropped. And now he wants his job back, by the way. The university cut ties with him. His actions provide the latest chapter in a contentious debate over the racially charged symbolism of the college. Named for slavery advocate and former U.S. Vice President John C. Calhoun, the debate gathered steam last summer with a petition demanding a name change, and has since grown to encompass the slavery-themed paintings, artifacts, and stained glass tiles displayed in the college. In April, Yale President Peter Salovey announced that Yale will keep the Calhoun name despite a year-long campaign by students and faculty calling it for it to be changed. So they went through all the proper channels, right? Petitions, meetings. Matter.
Money talks.
Money talks? What do you mean?
Money talks. Like, people at the top going, nah, we make too much money. We are not changing the name. And racism matters too with this because a lot of racist people donate to their university.
I'll tell you something else that talks. Breaking that motherfucking panel talks.
Yeah, it does.
He is 38 years old. He said he wasn't motivated by allegiance to student activism when, while helping to clean the hall on Monday, he decided on a sudden impulse to knock the panel down. When I walked into this job, I wasn't aware of none of that. And then, you know, being there, you start hearing different things. I took a broomstick and it was kind of high. I climbed up, reached up, and broke it, he said. It's 2016. I shouldn't have to come to work and see things like that.
Come on, I agree.
I just said that thing's coming down today. I'm tired of it. I put myself in a position to do it and did it. Yale Hospitality, Menifee's employer, declined to comment on a personnel matter. Last week, the head of college, the new title replacing Master, Julia Adams, announced in an email to a Calhoun community that a set of stained glass panels depicted various moments from Stateman's life would be removed from the college common room. In the email, Adams said the impetus for the removal came from a study conducted by Yale's Committee on Art in public spaces following damage to one of the windows in the dining hall. The study, he broke that shit and it was like, oh, the study is the real reason. In an interview, she declined to confirm that the window in question was the same panel broken by Menifee, referring further questions to university spokesman Tom Conroy. Why wouldn't they tell? Why wouldn't they just say they don't want it to seem like this nigga made them change? God, I hate stuffy ass academia motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, he broke that goddamn window. Go, hey, I come to work every day and I shouldn't have to deal with this
make
bullshit.
Those kids have to fucking go to a petition so they can have their fucking humanity. Yeah, you want to be seen as a place that's inviting and inclusive. We want black people to come here. I mean, you're gonna have to walk past these slaves every day, but I mean, good luck in class.
We ain't changing no names.
That'll have, yeah. I mean, shit, we just welcome to Slave Master University, and this is the slave owner building. Check this out. You're actually situated in room rapist. Yeah, just go there.
Right, and to the left is lynching 101 room.
Mm-hmm. Just go on right up in there. Yeah, have fun. Conroy told the Independent that Menifee's status is officially not employed by the university. He said he may not disclose any further information about what's a personnel matter.
Yeah, he lost his job, but he made y'all do something.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Last month, dining hall workers from across the university gathered in Calhoun to prepare food for the June 15th staff appreciation event on old campus. According to one of the workers involved, it didn't take long for the conversation to turn to the stained glass panels on the Elm Street side of the building, said the worker, who asked to remain anonymous due to the sensitive nature of the issue.
Right, it's some shit they've been talking about for a long time, and he was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna break it today.
Everybody has something to say about them. Menifee was the one who took action and busted that shit out.
Right, just something they probably talk about when they lunch break every time they pass that motherfucker.
Yep. Now, Menifee said after he, you know, broke it, the dining hall manager Sam Feliciano witnessed the episode, and police arrived to the scene shortly after. So Menifee said, I just went to the bathroom and shaved to make sure I was clean shaven for the authorities. He's like, this activism brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm. He was arrested in Calhoun by the New Haven Police Department and left the college in handcuffs. He faces a second degree misdemeanor charge of reckless endangerment and a first degree felony charge of criminal mischief. He has yet to enter a plea. But yeah, like I said, I think they dropped the charges and all that shit. So he also said, I didn't commit any acts of violence against anyone or any living thing. I didn't be belligerent or yell. I just broke the windows. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, you get zero.
Zero! Zero from me too, man.
You get a zero. That's some shit they should have changed.
Mm-hmm. Change it for them then.
Right. And it's one of those things where, like you said, they went through all the proper channels and y'all still said no, so fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today in the chat room to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Also, now would be a good time to mention that this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right, guys. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT to save $3 off of any new subscription. July is the month to get in because it's futuristic is the theme for July, okay? And you're going to get all kinds of stuff in there. It's less than $20 a month. You get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, one-of-a-kind items, even more. This month's franchises are going to be Rick and Morty, which is like one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Futurama, also one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Star Trek, The Next Generation, one of my favorite shows of all time. Mega Man, and so much other stuff. You get a model, a figure, monthly t-shirt, and you get a pen. All this stuff. Just sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to guarantee that you get futuristic for this month's July box, okay? So you want that crate. You can go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT and save $3 off of any new subscription. People always ask us where we get our cool shirts from, our cool hat, our cool gear. Loot Crate is where I get a lot of my stuff from. So my Pikachu hat, we get Loot Crate anime. There's Loot Crate for video game. You don't just have to get the regular Loot Crate, but if you just want the regular one, hey, you need to sign up. Hurry up. All right, let's get into this racism. A burglary suspect kept a stolen brain beneath a porch and used it to get high.
What?
Mm-hmm. When police showed up at a vacant trailer home in Penn Township, Pennsylvania last month, neighbor Pat Beck... Huh?
Are you probably going to tell me, but I'm like...
Right, yeah. You asking questions, then I'm reading the article that has the answers.
Go ahead.
Neighbor Pat Beck was worried something might be wrong. Their presence seemed even more mysterious when Beck saw an investigator remove a box from the home and place it in a police vehicle. Several weeks later, a reporter from local news told Beck what was inside the box, which was a human brain. It just scares me to death, a terrified Beck told the station. I didn't think they were that kind of people, but nowadays you never know. That kind of people? What, brain people? What the fuck? Igor? Like,
zombies?
Yeah, who are they when it comes to having brains under their house? I know they were the walking dead. Police told the station that the brains was found beneath a porch where it was kept inside a Walmart shopping bag.
What?
It even had a name, Freddy.
Ha ha! So it didn't decay? I'm so confused.
I'm assuming it was in formaldehyde or something. I don't know. Police say the name was given to the brain by Joshua Lee Long, who was already incarcerated by the Cumberland County, in connection with a string of burglaries in Pennsylvania. Police think the brain was also stolen. Yeah, probably from Frankenstein.
Yeah, I guess Fred is dead.
Yeah,
he is.
Cumberland County Coroner Charlie Hall has confirmed the brain as belonging to an adult human.
Who though? Don't nobody know who? They just got a random brain. Nobody know who's it belong to.
They think the brain may have originally been used for teaching purposes.
Okay.
Like, I teach your ass not to say nothing to me again.
Like for science class.
Pop your brain on out, bitch.
Ah!
At this point now, we're just trying to figure out where it came from. We're hoping that if...
Somebody science class.
Right. We're hoping that if anyone feels like they're missing a human specimen brain, bring it to our attention and maybe we could return it to its rightful owner. Sounds like they just need to get some brains together. Maybe do some brainstorming.
Yeah, yes, either college for somebody maybe teaching college.
Yeah, that's what he said. Class. He didn't say it was. It didn't have to be high school.
He just said,
you know, might be missing a specimen. Police said the brain was discovered by Long's aunt while she was cleaning the trailer home. Trailer home. The station reported that she contacted her nephew in prison to ask about the brain, and he told her that it belonged to him. At some point, she contacted police and told them about the brain. The defendant related that he knew it was illegal to have the brain and that he and another man would spray the embalming fluid on weed to get high. Oh, man. That's so they were really using the brain juice to lace that weed. He's in prison right now in lieu of $100,000 bail. He faces new charges in connection with the stolen brain, misdemeanor abuse of a corpse, and conspiracy to commit abuse to a corpse. I bet that brain was so dirty. Probably needed a brainwash. Oh, why are you stepping on my joke? He probably needed to brainwash it. All right, go ahead. What were you going to say, Karen? Go ahead.
Not bad. I ain't be the best joker.
It's all right. He probably just had a dirty mind.
You think they scrubbed his mind first?
Mm-hmm. Probably. Wait. You want a rim shot for that? I knew you wanted to get one. All right. Let's go.
Mine be bad. I don't care.
You know what? It's half your show. Get what you need. let's see. Worst example of a whiter person misunderstanding niggas ever white.
Oh.
A pinky took that brain.
Oh, a pinky in the brain.
I wonder what his plan to do tonight was. Take over the world, Karen.
Get high with that juice.
That is a white man crime. It's pronounced Frankenstein white. John Stewart in half baked. White. Whiter than the people still defended Taylor Swift.
Oh,
shit. Well, you know what, guys? Those answers were a little bit racist, but I don't mind. It was right. It was right.
So crying for Ninja Turtle was white. That's what somebody said down there.
Let me show you guys his picture so you guys can see what he looked like. This is him. Like, he got a brain on him, don't he? Look at that big old head.
Right. He's
probably eating the brain. Mm-mm-mm.
It had to stink. Well, no, they kept it in the fluid. That's why it didn't stink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could have got away with it if he would have just minded his business.
Yeah, he could have got wet with it if he just used his brain.
Hold on. All right. Mm-mm-mm. Sounds like they should have put a little more thought into getting away with that crime. Maybe they needed to brainstorm.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one right there. I like that one.
Oh, shit. It's y'all's fault for
this. Right. Y'all keep coming back.
Y'all don't have to subscribe to this.
Mm-mm.
All right. Bonus round. All right. Wrong one. This one.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. But we're about to see if they can, everybody's one for one. We're about to see if they can finish strong. Let's see. That's right. Everybody went white on that one. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all don't think black people drink brains? Okay. Stereotype. Maybe Karen was right. Y'all don't care about mental health.
Mm-mm.
Because that's what a brain is.
Mm-hmm.
A Florida man confesses to killing his fiance with an AK-47 rifle because he was 9 out of 10 mad at her during an argument.
What the hell is a 9 out of 10?
What the fuck is a 10 is the question.
Right!
You kill me at 9 out of 10? What the fuck is 10? A Florida man has been arrested after allegedly killing his fiance with an AK-47 gun because he was 9 out of 10 mad at her during the argument. Royce Teets, 46, has been charged with premeditated murder after he shot Terry Coolidge, 44, with a short barrel rifle at their home in Plantation just before 10:30 p.m. on Sunday. Teets told police at least 4 different stories as he tried to explain how the mother of 2 young children ended up dead with a hole in the chest. So he was lying.
Woo!
Oh, Florida. She got shot, he told emergency dispatcher at 911. She's going to die. They were messing with a shotgun and it went off. The story had already changed when police arrived at the home when he told officers he had been cleaning the rifle when it accidentally discharged. But then he told police that Coolidge was an alcoholic and had accused him that day of texting other women. He told detectives he went out to drink with his friends that night and returned home by 9. Police said the details on where he went out and who he was with changed several times. When he returned home, he said Coolidge was holding his phone, accusing him of having sex with another woman. Teets told police that Coolidge began to throw items around that home, breaking a mirror in the bedroom before telling him, "I'm going to kill you." Oh, God. Florida is goddamn stand your ground bullshit. All you got to do is say, "Oh, somebody was going to kill me. I was scared for my life." After he lied 2 times, he then decided to grab one of the AK-47s that he kept in the bedroom closet. Yeah, he has more than one. Before Coolidge could take it and told police he removed a magazine to check to make sure no bullets were in the chamber. But somehow she ended up getting killed.
Right.
Then he told 3 different versions of the moment that she died. Jesus. So choose your own adventure, motherfucker. Oh, hold on. Let me go back to page 76. In the original version, he claimed Coolidge grabbed the gun by the barrel and pulled it over to her chest, causing the rifle to discharge at point blank range. Teets told police in the second version that she bumped the underside of the gun, lifting it up, and it went off, striking her in the chest. And in the third version, he said he was hitting Teets and trying to grab the gun as he waved it back and forth and that she was hitting him. And he was waving the gun back and forth, pointing the barrel at her chest.
So now she was hitting him?
Right. With his finger on the trigger, it went off, the report states. But detectives at the crime scene found evidence didn't match any of his stories. A live round was inside the chamber of the rifle, which would have been impossible if Teets had removed a magazine like he claimed. And investigators found that Coolidge's gunshot wound seemed to indicate that Teets had fired down at her. And, yeah, so he stood over her and shot her and killed her in cold blood and then tried to lie. In his final versions, he admitted to detectives that he had been 9 out of 10 on a 1 to 10 anger scale of his fiance because she was yelling and hitting him and accusing him of things.
So that justify you?
I was mad, Karen, so I should be able to kill somebody. He grabbed the AK-47, didn't remove the magazine, ran towards Coolidge as he shot her in the chest. He admitted to police that Coolidge had been unarmed and had not posed a threat to him. He told police officers that he accepted full responsibility of her death and that it was, if he was sent to jail, then that is what happens. Police said Coolidge's children were not at home at the time of the murder. Teets is being held without bond. Friends said Coolidge, who was divorced, was a loving mother who talked about her kids all the time. They were the oxygen to her life. So, yep. The mother's friend said they knew of Teets' criminal history, which included convictions for larceny, grand theft, and possession of meth with intent to sell. Oh, man. So, that is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Teets' ex-wife has also filed for protection against domestic violence and protection against stalking for him from before their divorce in September 2015. So, sounds like he has a history of domestic violence, and oftentimes this does end in death. Guess the race of Mr. What is his first name? Royce Teets. Royce Teets chat room. Let's see what they believe. Let's see here. Shooting someone in cold blood and lying about it, does it get more whiter and more Florida than that? White man who told 9 different stories in 10 tries. He was 9 out of 10 lies, for real. If he would have reached a 10, he would have had sex with her dead skull white. White. Aww. Changing the stories like Taylor Swift white. You wouldn't like him when he gets angry white. Gotta watch the whole Snapped episode white. He needs to calibrate that scale white. 9 out of 10 angry. Adam Sessler, top 10 face ass Caucasian. The correct answer is white. And here's what he looked like on my screen. Like, he don't even look sorry. Mm-mm. Picture just a little like, yeah, I'm going to jail one way or another. And he probably was cheating. I know he was cheating, because look at this picture right here. Why he got these thirst pictures on his Facebook
motorcycle?
Right, he got on a motorcycle, no shirt on, flexing real hard for the camera. Mm-hmm. He was definitely cheating, dog. Mm-mm-mm. That's a shame he took that lady's life like that.
Right, instead of just letting her be.
All right, piece of shit. All right, let's go to some sword ratchetness here, guys, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. Also, Wednesday, we should have Nina Perez on here. So, you know, author Nina Perez, you guys may know her from the podcast fandom. Mm-hmm. So,
one of my favorite people.
A Springfield man was jailed for a sword attack on El Dorado Street. Hamoud Hazam, 35, of Springfield, has been arrested on charges of aggravated battery and obstructing justice after he allegedly struck a man with a sword. The incident was captured on surveillance video. The victim, 43, told police he was driving south on Jasper Street on Saturday afternoon near Grand Avenue in order to conduct a transaction with Hazam. He saw Hazam in an orange Nissan minivan, and Hamoud directed him to follow his vehicle. The two vehicles pulled over in the parking lot. "You're the reason we got busted," Hazam reportedly told the victim. The victim said that Hazam pulled a sword that was about 15 inches long from his rear waistband and struck him with the sword in his left arm. The victim then drove to an east side residence where he met with police. He was treated for 2 superficial lacerations around 6 inches in length on his left arm. A witness to the attack told police that the driver of an orange Nissan waved a sword at the victim. He saw 2 men running towards the victim's truck. One of those men struck the victim with a sword. She then called the police. Hazam told police that at 3:27 p.m. Saturday, the victim pulled up alongside the vehicle he was driving. The victim then pointed something that appeared to be a black handgun at him and said, "Give me what you got." Hazam then said he was alone at the time. He never left his vehicle before the victim drove away. Officers viewed the security. So he was lying like a motherfucker. He was like, "I ain't have a sword. I don't know this dude. He just drove away. There was no, he must have got cut by somebody else sometime else." Anyway, officers viewed security video from the exterior of a building. It showed an orange van pulling to a parking lot, then a silver truck that appeared consistent with the victim's vehicle parking in the vicinity on the west side of the building. 2 males were seen standing on the west side of that building. Officers observed 1 man brandishing what appeared to be a sword. Officers then observed the two males run up to the silver truck. The truck then drove away. Hamoud's statement was inconsistent with security footage. He was booked into Macon County Jail after his bond was set at $10,000 on Monday. So, there you go. Motherfucker was lying like shit with a big ass sword, because they don't live in the same reality that we do, guys.
Ain't that the truth?
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We appreciate everybody supporting us, and we will talk to you guys then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.